Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So it is, it's Christmas time. And as much as at Christmas time we do the tree, we do the presents, we do all of the things, I think if you're in the room and you love the Lord, you know that none of those things are the main thing. You know that none of those things are the true reason for the season. The true reason for the season is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? That God was so rich in love and mercy that he sent his one and only son. He sent his begotten son, only begotten son of the Father, Jesus Christ, to earth. Jesus came as an infant. He was born of a virgin in the most humble way, in the most humble place, in the most humble circumstances. And the destiny of Jesus Christ was to save us. We understand that he lived to die. He lived to become a once and for all sacrifice for us, a perfect sacrifice for your sin and for mine. He lived, Jesus lived, to reconcile us back to right relationship with the Father, something that we can't do on our own. We can't. We couldn't, we can't right now, and we never will be able to. But what we couldn't do, Jesus accomplished on our behalf, so that this relationship with God that we have, if you're here and you have a relationship with God, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, you can pray a prayer at the end of the service today. And you can leave this place knowing that you've made your peace with God. That'll be at the end of the service and in Wangara also. But for those of us who love the Lord, the relationship with God that we have and the access that we have and the hope that we have, the freedom that we have, it's all only ours because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to be born. And that is why the scriptures refer to Jesus Christ and they refer to the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. It calls this package deal, if you like, God's greatest gift. Forget the new iPhone under the Christmas tree. Who's got a new iPhone? No, don't tell anyone. Don't give it away. But forget about it. Whatever good thing might be under your tree, remember that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. The greatest gift that we will ever know. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "Now thanks be to God for his gift. Precious beyond telling. His indescribable, inexpressible, free gift." Thanks be to God for this gift. Paul's actually saying that it's impossible to adequately define or describe the gift of God that is Jesus Christ. He's actually saying that the gift of salvation, the gift of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it is a precious gift beyond our expression, beyond our telling, beyond our words. But just like any gift, I want to put to us today that the gift of Jesus Christ actually requires unboxing. We got to unpackage this gift. Have you ever come across the phenomenon of unboxing? Give me a wave, Wangara. Give me a wave. Okay, for the baby boomers, for the Gen Xers, let me illuminate you. I only know because my son watches a lot of unboxing videos. But if you go to YouTube and if you search on YouTube unboxing, you're literally going to pull up millions of videos of people opening packages, right? It's a thing. And what they do is they film themselves. It's very exciting. They film themselves opening a box. They take out of the package whatever is in the package and then they kind of get it all going. They assemble the parts, they connect it, they turn it on, they examine the features and they film themselves the entire time they're doing this and then they upload it to YouTube for our entertainment. I don't know who's worse, the people who film it or the people who watch it. They wonder why society is getting dumber. That right there, that is why. Unboxing. But the whole point of unboxing, it's an act of discovery. It's an act of, it's this progressive unfolding. Well, what is this gift? What is included in this package? How does it all work? What features does it have? I want to know. That's what unboxing is all about. And it's similarly, I know it's a bit crude, but it's similar with God's gift of Jesus Christ to us. When we first receive Him, when we first receive salvation by receiving Jesus Christ, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, it's not as if at that point we get this heavenly download and suddenly we know all that there is to know about Jesus Christ. Did that happen to anyone? Crickets. No, absolutely not. We didn't get this heavenly download. It's actually quite the opposite. At the point of salvation, we only have an elementary knowledge. We only have a shallow understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And it's as we journey in our walk with faith, as we journey in our walk with the Lord, that there's this progressive unboxing. There's this unfolding of who Jesus is and how Jesus loves and what Jesus has done and who we are because of how He loves and who we are because of what He's done. None of these things come instantly. They all kind of come gradually as we work out our salvation, the scripture says, with fear and trembling. We figure it out line upon line, layer upon layer, so that as to live as a believer is to live in a progressively increasing knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Do I have an amen? A progressively increasing knowledge. And that is why Paul prays prayers like this one that we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He says this, I keep asking, like I've asked before, and I'm going to ask again. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. This is a prayer for Christians. This is a prayer for the church at Ephesus that they might know Him more, that we might know Him more. The implication of this prayer is that there's more knowledge to be had. There's a greater awareness. There's a greater revelation that we can actually come into. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says a very similar thing. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity. You can hear the language, can you not, of increasing knowledge, increasing faith. This is what we are called to, and yet many, many Christians go so far in their knowledge of Jesus and no farther. We get to a particular point in knowing Him, and then we just sort of settle. We decide at some point, either consciously or subconsciously, that the knowledge we have is knowledge enough. And we just kind of settle. We just kind of stop. Consciously or subconsciously, we're like, this will do. I know enough. I've seen enough. I've experienced enough. I get it enough. And we stop desiring more of Him. We stop wanting and hungering to know the Lord Jesus on a deeper level. We just kind of settle into a Christian rhythm, content in our knowledge of our Lord. Or worse still, perhaps we come to a place of arrogance where we think about our Christian existence that we basically know all there is to know. Perhaps we've been Christians for longer than we can remember. Perhaps we've heard more sermons than we've had hot dinners. You know, perhaps you've been to church every Sunday since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. And any sense of hunger for more has sort of been replaced with a complacency, replaced with a sense of self-assurance. I kind of know the deal now. I want to suggest to you that that's a dangerous place for the Christian. I don't really know when it happens. I don't know why it happens. I don't know how it happens. I don't know when we go from a burning first love to a sort of dwindling flame. But so many Christians have just settled or stagnated in their pursuit to know Jesus, where there used to be a holy desire to know him more. We can come into a place of over-familiarity, just complacency or indifference. Maybe it's just society. You know, maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's human nature. I don't know what it is. I have an iPhone. Anyone else got an iPhone? An iPhone. I'm led to believe that this iPhone has features on features. Like, I'm led to believe that this iPhone can do amazing, amazing things. Who's an iPhone nerd? Wangara, is anyone like an iPhone? You know all there is to know about the iPhone. Well, I don't. And I Googled features of an iPhone 15. Let me bore you today. Let me run you through some features of the iPhone 15. Do you know that this thing can take next generation portraits with focus and depth control? Do you know we can photo geotag on this thing? Do you know I can record video in 4K Dolby Vision? Recording at 60 frames per second. I can set up car crash detection, iBeacon micro-location. I can do voice isolation mode with my microphone, wide spectrum, whatever. I can do a whole bunch of things, but the point is I don't care. That's the point. That's the point. I've decided I know enough. I'm happy. I can call. I can text. I can take a photo. Anyone with me? I know enough. I know enough. I'm happy with that. There is so much more to know, apparently, about my iPhone 15, but I have settled in my knowledge. I've settled in my knowledge. And it's one thing to do that with an iPhone because it's temporal, it's passing away, it doesn't really matter. But Lord forbid that I carry that casual, complacent attitude across to my Lord and Savior, my eternal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who rent heaven and came down. He's the one who shed his blood so that I could be saved. We don't care how you treat your iPhone, but Jesus deserves the very best of our hunger. He deserves the very best. I want to suggest to you, church, that there's an invitation for us this Christmas. And even into 2025, there's an invitation to us to return to humble hunger. That's what I've called this message, humble hunger. There's an invitation for us to fill up again with holy desire to simply know Jesus more. We're going to unbox this gift of God to a greater degree, to a greater dimension, unbox Christ and his salvation so that we know him more. The truth is that this side of heaven, we're never going to exhaust the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This side of eternity, we're never going to achieve perfect knowledge. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 13 that we're living in a partial era. He says this in verse 9, for we know in part. Everyone say in part. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So he's letting us know, Paul's letting us know that there's a distinct difference in how we experience Jesus right now on earth versus how we will experience him one day in eternity. So when we cross over to be with Jesus eternally, the promise is that at that point, we will know him fully. But the clear point of this text is that that time is not right now. The text says that it is a partial era. It says now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. And so what that's talking about, the text is actually referring to ancient mirrors. They're not like our modern mirrors. In our modern mirrors, we see everything very clearly, do we not? Way too clearly when you've got a few extra crow's feet growing, you know. But that's not what the situation was with the ancient mirrors. They were made out of a polished metal, and the reflection that they gave was dull at best, dim at best. It was never complete. It was never perfect and clear. So this side of eternity is not the age for seeing Jesus with perfect clarity. Right now, we see Jesus with the eyes of the Spirit. Right now, we know him by faith. The text says then, meaning eternally, that is the time we will see him face to face with perfect clarity, which is such a glorious promise. Amen. I love this. I cherish this promise with my whole heart. However, the scripture is clear. Right now, we only know in part. And my point is that in this age of only knowing in part, the door is actually wide open for us to increase in knowledge, to know a larger part next year than we did this year, to actually be seeking the Spirit's wisdom and revelation to know him more and more, not to know him perfectly, but to know him increasingly. Increasingly. And this applies as much to the new believer in Christ as it does to the most practiced of saints. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, if you've heard of him, they call him the Prince of Preachers. He preached 3,600 sermons across nearly four decades of active ministry. Listen to what he said about the knowledge of Christ. He says, if you preach Christ, you will never run short. If you have preached 10,000 sermons about Christ, you have not left the shore. You are not out in the deep sea yet. Dive, my brother, dive, my sister, with splendor of thought, plunge into the great mystery of free grace and dying love. And when you have dived the farthest, you will perceive that you are as far off the bottom as when you first touched the surface. Isn't that beautiful? Here, Charles Spurgeon, he got it. He understood that we only know in part. We only prophesy in part. You know, if you've ever had the thought, I basically know it all. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the t-shirt. Well, according to scripture, you're wrong. You know, according to scripture, that's a wrong mindset. And I would encourage you, if you see that within yourself, come back, repent, and come back to an attitude of humble hunger. Humble hunger is the thing that's going to deal with any cynicism within you. Humble hunger is going to deal with a know-it-all attitude, a proud attitude. Humble hunger is going to position you to know Jesus more. Amen? I mean, Paul didn't just understand this. Paul lived it out. Going to go to the book of Philippians 3 and read what the great apostle shared with us. He says this in verse 8, what is more? I consider everything, say everything. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This great exclamation of Paul that Christians have reflected on through millennia, I want to know Christ. I want to know him in all of these different ways. I want to know all these different facets and experiences. I consider everything lost compared to the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. And when I read that, I'm a little bit like, hold up, Paul, what do you mean? What do you mean you want to know Christ? Like all of the people, surely you know Christ, Paul. You wrote the actual Bible. Like if you don't know Christ, who knows Christ? You know, the book of Philippians that we just read this text from, I want you to know Christ. It was written after the book of 2 Corinthians. And you remember in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he was called up into the third heaven. And that he received revelation so great that God had to allow him to have a thorn in his flesh so that he didn't get a big head. He says in 2 Corinthians that he learned inexpressible things. And here he is saying, like, I want to know Christ. I'm like, what do you mean you want to know Christ? If you don't know Christ, none of us have a chance. You know, none of us have a chance. Like, if I, Chrissy Lee, had been called up into the third heaven... If I'd been shown inexpressible things, I'd kind of feel like me and Jesus had a thing going on. You know, I'd kind of feel like, you know, I know Christ, and yet he cries out. Even after his third heaven experience, even after these inexpressible things, he cries out, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. You see, he maintains this attitude of humble hunger, in spite of all he had seen, in spite of all he did know, in spite of the greatness of the revelations, he still knew that he didn't know all there was to know. And humbly he hungered to know Jesus more. Oh, that we would have the same attitude as the great Apostle Paul, amen? I want to know Christ. When Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well, the whole text that we read in John chapter 4. He asked her for a drink of water, and I think most of us would know the story as it goes. She took issue with the fact that he, a Jewish man, spoke to her, a Samaritan woman, because culturally Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, leave alone a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. It was culturally very taboo, and she took objection to what he was doing. And Jesus answered her objection with this very interesting statement in John chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to look at it together. Jesus answered her, this woman at the well. He said, if you knew. Everyone say, if you knew. If you knew. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus illuminates from this text a very interesting principle that our knowledge determines our actions. He said to her, if you knew who I am, you would have asked me. In other words, if you knew differently, you would have acted differently. If you knew that I had the capacity to completely, totally, and utterly transform your life, you wouldn't have been so standoffish. You would have embraced me with every fiber of your being. And it's so true that our knowledge or our lack of knowledge, it determines our actions. Like if I knew it was going to rain, I would have taken an umbrella. If I knew my car was going to get broken into, I would not left it there, right? You know, our knowledge determines our actions, and it makes me think, what don't we know about Jesus yet? Where is our knowledge underdeveloped? Even as the church, even as Christians, where is our knowledge underdeveloped? What don't we know yet about the depth, the breadth, the height, and the width of his love for us? What don't we know yet about our true identity in him? What don't we know yet about the power of his resurrection? What don't we know yet? What do we know as a concept only, but not a day-to-day reality? What do we know in theory, but we're not living it? We haven't experienced it. And if we did know, how might we be acting differently? Yeah. Like if you knew how he was about to work it all together for good, maybe you wouldn't be trying so hard to escape the situation. If you knew how committed he was to your future and your calling, maybe you wouldn't be so afraid of missing out. If you knew more deeply the power of eternity, maybe you'd be making some different decisions. If you knew how keen he was to answer your prayer, to hear your cry, Maybe you'd be praying different prayers. Maybe you'd be on your knees a few more mornings a week. Like, what don't we know? What don't we know? To the Samaritan woman, he said, if you knew who was standing in front of you, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. I think this word needs to speak to us, church. Let this word speak to us. Jesus is right in front of us. We have access to Jesus Christ because of his shed blood. His spirit is within us. But when there's no humble hunger, when we have actually settled within ourselves, when we think we know it all, then maybe we're not even asking. Maybe we're not even approaching. And maybe we don't even know what we're missing out on. Amen. At the end of last year, even into the beginning of this year, I was a bit disturbed within myself for my lack of hunger. Did I love God? Absolutely. Was I serving him? I was doing my best too. Doing my best. But when it came to hunger inside of me, a hunger to know him more, I noticed that there was something lacking within me. You know, for 27 years, I've been a committed Christian. For 20 of those 27 years, Ken and I have led this church. You know, we celebrated 20 years at the beginning of these years. Who knows? That's a lot of Sundays. That's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of, you know, prayer meetings and whatnot. And I think within myself, I had just settled a bit. I had a Christian rhythm, unlike the Apostle Paul that I read. You know, I want to know Christ. I think I'd become a bit complacent within myself and I didn't like it. And so on two occasions across 2024, two occasions this year, I fasted for hunger. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm fasting for hunger. I'm not satisfied with the level of hunger in me. I actually want more of you. I know that there's desires within myself that drift off to other directions, that drift off to empty things, to worthless things, to temporal things. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And can I tell you, nothing happened instantly. I was not called up into the third heaven, unfortunately, wherever that might be. But, you know, as I reflect across the passage of this year, as I reflect on 2024, I want to tell you, I've had God encounters like I've never had before. And I've experienced intimacy with Jesus like I have actually never known. And I feel more comfortable in my identity and more comfortable in my calling than I literally have ever been before in my life. And I feel so moved because 27 years on and he's still showing me new things. 27 years on and I'm still learning. I'm still seeing. I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. He's still committed to me. And even still, I know there's more to know, amen? And we'd never get to the end of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is not a course to complete. He is not a module to understand or to know, a body of knowledge to kind of complete and move on. This is not who Jesus is. He is our dear one that we are in relationship with. He is the beloved. And I want to say this Christmas, there's more for you. There's more for me. There's more for you. But we will never see it unless we come with an attitude of humble hunger and a cry within ourselves, Lord, I want to know you more. And that's my message today. I just want to encourage us all. Let's make it a goal in 2025. If you're into New Year's resolutions, make it a resolution, bless you. Make it a resolution in 2025 that we would increase in our knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Oh,